You're listening to the Author Stories Podcast, bringing you the story behind the stories and the storytellers.
Margaret Wise,
Terry Brooks,
Sheena Kamal,
Matthew Quick,
J.T. Ellison,
Walt D. Williams,
Brad Thor,
Corey Doctorow,
Brandon Sanderson,
Robin Mom,
Ernest Klein, Jim Butcher,
Sherilyn Harris.
Visit HankGarner.com for archives of all the shows. Today's guest is... World Anvil is a browser-based world-building platform designed for all world builders, writers and novelists, dungeon masters, game developers, and everyone else. World Anvil keeps your world setting safe and organized, helps you find your characters, locations, plots, timelines, and maps quickly and easily as you write. Then, if you choose, you can showcase your amazing world building to the world, beautifully and interactively, to keep your readers engaged. You can even use our professional tier to build your career, selling access to behind-the-scenes content your readers will love and growing your community. Build your world setting in any genre with over 25 custom-built world-building templates, complete with prompts to inspire your creativity. Allow your readers to explore the public parts of your world in an innovative new way with interactive maps, timelines, and wiki-style articles. Give special access to co-authors, beta readers, customers, or patrons to see exclusive behind-the-scenes content. There's a free version to get started with all of the major features. Guild membership offers you a host of extra options, including comprehensive privacy settings, co-authors, presentation options, and so much more. Join our community of over 800,000 world builders, including professional authors. Take part in competitions and learn more about world building at this fantastic online community. Use the coupon code HANK to get 20% off all 6 and 12 month subscriptions. WorldAnvil.com. I'm a recent convert and I know you will be too. Well, thanks for joining me again for the Author Stories Podcast, where I bring you the story behind the stories and the storytellers. Today, I'm super excited to have my friend Stacy Tucker back on the show with me today. She has a brand new book that's out today. Today is release day for Sky of Water, book 3 of the Equal Night trilogy. Stacy, when we talked last, book 1 was out and you were working on getting book 2 out. How does it feel to have book 3 of this series out?
Wow. Well, first, thank you so much, Hank, for having me back on.
Absolutely.
I always love conversations with you, so I'm excited to be here. Thank you. I feel really relieved that I saw it through to the end of the series, and it was so fun and I learned so many lessons. And I have to say, as I'm wrapping up and this book is out, I feel compelled to share all of my mistakes with all of the authors out there or hopeful authors, because I made so many.
Right.
but all worth it. You know, at the end of the day, I've come to the end of this, and it was such an amazing experience, mistakes and all. So, I'm elated to have something I created, something in the world that didn't exist until I made it. And I love that feeling.
That's such an incredible feeling. And speaking of those mistakes, you know, sometimes those are the best parts of the creative process. The things we learn from the mistakes and the turns that we take that we never anticipated. Sometimes those can be, like Bob Ross used to say, is the happy accidents that turn out the best.
Right. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And this was a journey for me in my own finding in the books. It was the protagonist was finding her own true, confidence and power within herself. And that really was my, we all put ourselves in our books. And that was really my journey as well, was to find my confidence and to promote. And most, I know many authors are shy about promoting themselves but you really need to. And so that was a big lesson for me, and just my journey of really coming into my own confidence of of promoting my work.
Right. Stacy, before we get into to the new book, and I want to talk some specifics about the series. Do you remember what the first book or series or author that you read that really opened your mind up to the possibilities of fantasy or just kind of these epic stories of adventure? Do you remember who the first author or the first book was that did that for you?
Well, you know, Tolkien, of course, is the classic. And those are the easy go-to. And it's funny because I was never really a fiction reader until, and then of course the Harry Potters, which I think I may have shared the story before, where I read the Rowling books and I thought, oh gosh, why bother? Why should I bother writing my story? Because I could never be as good. But then I read a mediocre ebook by an author I don't even remember the name of and thought, oh, I can do this. So I really attribute my going for it for just reading books that weren't all that great because I realized, oh, if they are putting their stuff out there, then I can have the courage to put my stuff out there. So that was a big turning point for me. And I was always a nonfiction reader, in the spirituality space and the self-help kind of space, and always trying to improve myself. And then I caught wind of an idea that I thought would be, oh, that would be a neat idea for a trilogy. The idea of the three mother letters in the ancient mystical text, the Jewish Kabbalah, fire, air, and water, Aleph, Mem, Shin, although it's not the right order, but, and I thought, oh, that would be a fun idea. Never having written fiction before. And then I just kind of went with it. And it was really, from novice to marginally one step, two steps above novice. But so that was sort of my journey to writing fiction and my inspiration.
Stacy, having written the three books in the series and covering the territory, I'm air quoting here with my fingers, that you wanted to cover, what do you think it is about fiction that allows you to share some of these big concepts? You talked about spirituality and stuff a minute ago, and those types of conversation topics weird some people out, and you will lose a certain amount of your audience if you start talking about those things in general terms. But, you know, when you couch it in story, you can reach a much wider audience, and you can get people to talk about things that they normally wouldn't talk about. If it's an adventure story about a girl, what do you think it is about fiction that opens people up and allows us to talk about things that we might not be comfortable talking about?
Yeah, great question. Well, we're all steeped in myth, right? We're all and I love mythology, ancient mythology, and it's just so fascinating in how we are just the descendants of that, the archetypes and the gods and goddesses and the mythical magic of the past. And the story does let you suspend your, it's a suspension of disbelief, and you suspend what you think you know is true and allow yourself to believe in the magic of something you wouldn't normally believe is true. But for the time that you're reading that book, you are immersed in this, but I'll use my air quotes now, this, untruths or magic world, when I have tried to live my life and write in these books that, we're all just straddling the line between reality and magic in our own lives. And there's so many things to pay attention to and discover in our life, in our everyday life and in our world, the magic of nature and the magic of the earth and the stars and how we're connected to both. we are like I call the human body like the straw between the earth and sky, and we have so much connection available to us if we're just aware of it and tap into that. And that's really what I wanted to convey in my books, was just as us little old humans have this extraordinary power and help from unseen worlds that that most do portray in fantasy fiction. And I feel like fantasy authors know that secret, right? That's what we're tapping into. And storytellers, that's what we're all tapping into, are those unseen worlds. And I love that. It's so delicious. And it's always evolving too.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, and the best fantasy stories, and you alluded to it, are when normal, regular humans get involved in epic struggles and find out that they are more than they thought they were.
Absolutely.
And that kind of encompasses the Equal Knight trilogy in a nutshell. Tell us about Skylar. Where did Skylar come from? Let's recap the series just a little bit for people that may be just coming in. Who is Skylar and how did she come to you?
She is college age, and I wanted a character who is just starting out on her journey of figuring out who she is as a woman. And as I can't speak for all women, but as most women, we have a tendency to give our power away, people please, want to make everyone happy, at the expense of really finding out what makes us happy first. And my stepdaughter is about 22. At the time I started the book series, she was about 4 years younger, but she was in college and also an equestrian, who Skylar is an equestrian, going for veterinary school. And I saw my stepdaughter making the same mistakes that I made when I was in my early 20s. And I thought, oh, I would love to. I didn't want a character who was already perfect, like the Katnisses of the world, who already knew their strength. I really wanted someone who was strong yet flawed, and also, you know, after making mistakes, still worthy of the love of the good guy. And because we all feel too that, you know, we make our mistakes in life and, oh, I don't deserve X, Y, Z. And so I really wanted her to get the gold and the guy, without learning her true self without compromising at the end. So I hope I've conveyed that.
Well, and a college age heroine is a really unique protagonist to have, because there's lots of YA fiction where the heroine is 15 or 16 maybe, and that allows you to do certain things, but it also prevents that character from being able to do certain things, because we all know 15 and 16 year olds and their ideas of the way the world is are not quite fully formed, or they're naive about things or whatever. But then having a protagonist who's maybe 35 or so comes with its own complications. But a college age protagonist really allows you to explore the world in a whole new way. What freedoms did this character allow you to take? And why do you think this was the best age for this protagonist?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I wanted her to be open enough. I think as we age, right, we tend to get set in our ways, and our belief systems really get solidified until something rocks our world to change that. That's what happened to me when I was 30, when, you know, I was bouncing along through life, and then I was rocked with my mom getting cancer, and I had never had an experience of such loss before. And so then that one thing opened me up. But until something like that happens, you really just, you have your little belief system, but a college age girl, I feel, is still pliable and open to new ideas and that were being presented to her. And also I think maybe more of forgiveness as well. You know, there in the first book, she and the second, she had to really do some soul searching and forgive some people in her life that really deceived her. And I think that that does, speaking from experience, my own, that's something like that does get harder as we harden and age. But I had toyed with the getting into the YA category, and hindsight is of course perfect. And that I would put in my list of mistakes was to see if there was a way I could have done the series for the YA, just simply from a business perspective. And I hate to bring that in because
no, that's important.
Yeah. To think about my advice for anybody who's, you know, wants a super successfully, financially successful book, like that's where I found, I made so many business mistakes with my books. And one of them honestly was writing a fantasy series for women, because I was so immersed in the concepts I wanted to teach people, but people, you know, women my age had to care. And a lot of fantasy fiction is geared towards the YA market. And I would have done better financially had my protagonist been younger, and I had gone to turn it into a screenplay, and my coach, you know, she really pushed me. She's like, this won't sell unless the protagonist is, you know, is a teen. And I tried to rewrite it as a teen, and that just, it just didn't work for me, for my heart of how I wanted this to portray this story. So, and the first book, you know, has some, sex in it, and I couldn't put that in a YA book. So, you know, that was kind of out. And, so there was just a lot, I straddled a lot of boxes, and still in publishing, there's still those boxes that they want to put you in for selling your books. And I just couldn't ever, and it's the story of my life, I think, I just could never get it into one good box. And the YA category is great because it's this huge, it could be anything. It could be any kind of topic, and you just label it YA and you're good to go. And I couldn't do that. So I was sort of, you know, that was just lesson learned there. But, and then as far as having her be so too old, you know, and anything older than college, I wouldn't think that would have worked either, because, you know, as a woman, you're more, you know, more settled in your life path, an older woman. And I really needed her to be wide open for a life path.
Yeah. Why do you think that it is so difficult to connect with women in these types of stories? We know that that it's so important for women to be empowered. We know that the world would be you know, without the feminine influence, this would be a terrible place. I think we could all agree on that. Why is it so difficult to connect with women with stories like this, do you think? What do you think that women have been told or whatever that some of them believe that the epicness of life doesn't apply to them?
A very good question. I do think there is a small market for it. It's sure. But women love relationships. That books on relationships, stories about relationships, whether they be romantic or sisters, like Frozen, you know, the relationship is really the draw of female readers. And I have plenty of relationships in my books, and there is romance. There is a whole thread of grandmothers and mothers and granddaughters, and it's a whole line of strong women, and they are relationship driven. But it does have such a magical element, and the focus of the series has really been about that, the fantasy elements and the magic of it. And because it was placed in a fantasy genre, the whole idea of relationship doesn't really come up, because you have in a, you know, it's what does your cover look like? And in the 30 seconds you have to tell someone about your book, or and they've moved on. You know, everything is happening so fast in our world that to even say this is a book about relationships, which all books are,
sure.
It doesn't really jive. You know, oh, what's your book about? And then you've got your little elevator pitch, and oh, it's a fantasy fiction series. And then you've lost them. You know, well, it's a romance, or romance. I mean, that's romance is the number one category for women's fiction by a lot. So, you know, there are definitely categories for women, it's changing a little bit. It's changing a little bit, and there are some groups of like the Rebel Girls and things like that, that where it's there. If we can get readers to start early with the empowerment collections, then and they grow up with them, and then they look to those books as nourishment and not so much the romance. I mean, the romance are great. I love romance novels, but there's room for others too.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier that when you got the idea for this series, you wanted to convey this concept from the Kabbalah of water, air, and fire, and then each one of the three books in the series took on that theme. Could you kind of explain that to people of what this concept is and why these elements are so important, and how they become integral to the story that you tell?
Sure. Yes. Whenever I see them out in the world, you know, it's there's a lot of like in the pagan communities and the earth groups, you know, where people really revere the earth and fire, air, and water, and then earth as the fourth element of it's a makeup of our bodies and the planet we live on, and it's a nod to Mother Earth, and the power of the mother is also a huge concept for me and in the books. And each of the fire, air, and water is each one of the, I call them the great mothers, and they are the grandmothers in the story of these women, and they've been on the planet since time began, and they're sisters. And so I thought, how fun would that be to, you know, have these larger than life characters, but actually have them be not quite human, but have human lives and have human families. And so Skylar in the first book finds out that she is the granddaughter of one of the great mothers, and then goes on this journey, and they're here to help bridge a new world. Right. And we're seeing it now play out in our current world of how things are changing, and we're moving toward just a different way of life than we have in the past. And Skylar, one of Skylar's main goals is to help create the new world as we see the old crumble around us. And another thread of the story is it takes place around the 2020 presidential election. And now I wrote these stories, you know, it was after Trump got elected, and really that didn't influence me that much. What really influenced me was this idea of Tecumseh's curse, which is that every 20 years since the early 1800s, a president has either been assassinated, gotten sick, or attempted, their life was, attempted for every 20 years. And 2020 is the year. And so I thought, oh, that sounded, I want to put that in there. And so I thought that was just a fun, neat idea, and not to have a spoiler alert or anything, but my president does bite it. And then replacing him is a woman. And so, because he had taken on a female vice president as just a ploy to get elected, and then she actually ends up becoming president and running the country and starting a new chapter for the world, because she is I don't want to spoil too much, but she is of the supernatural variety. And so it just takes on a wonderful twist to, you know, to what would the world look like if a witch was in the White House? I don't know. But
I love that concept so much because it really highlights the idea that there's always something bigger going on behind what we can see, and how the spiritual world, if you want to use that term, bleeds over into our world, and we're always a little closer than we think that we are. It's so much fun, so much fun. The final book is called, it's called Sky of Water, and this completes the trilogy. Did going through, all of the steps, all of the parts of the journey, with Skylar, did that allow you to tell, to communicate the truths that you'd always been wanting to? Was it a fulfilling experience to wrap up these three books with this character?
Very much so. Very much so. And when I was finished, like I said earlier, I felt a relief of, wow, it's complete. And it really, it was, you know, I had a tear in my eye and I thought, oh gosh, what am I going to do now? but that's okay. I like the open-ended question of what I'm going to do now. I'm still figuring that out. But I do feel that I reached my goal. I had a mission, and it drove me to do this for 7 years, 7 year process for the three books. And I, you know, the first book was it took me 3 years, the second book a year, and then the third book 6 weeks. So, wow. Right. It just was quite something. One, I had a deadline, which was always lights of fire, but also, you know, I wanted it to get out because just our world moves so fast that, and you know, people forget what you did a month ago. So forget about a book from 2 years ago. But so now I'm enjoying celebrating the three of them together. It's been fun.
Well, as a writer, what changed for you from book one to book three? I know deadlines, like you mentioned, but how do you feel like you grew as a writer through this process of these three books?
I have a stronger backbone than I did at the beginning of this. I thought everyone was going to just love my book the way I did. And so getting those, you know, a couple, there were some who loved it and some who didn't. And so those first couple not so great reviews really hurt. And I thought, oh, here I am pouring my heart and soul out and bringing it to the world, and someone's just going to pee all over it. And that just was horrible. And so I had to go through that process. And so now I'm much better at feeling like, do those matter? Sure, but not so much. And knowing that I'm doing my best and I enjoy what I do and I love what I do, and sharing it is just part of the process, and letting it go and letting it be whatever it's going to be out in the world, and trying my best. I wasn't great with the first one, or even the second too, with really, you know, marketing and saying, oh, you know, buy my book. I thought people will find it who really want it. And now I'm more, I'm out there more. I'm more visible with them. And that's been a big turning point for me. So that's been good.
Do you, will you write more fantasy? Do you see that on the horizon for you?
I think so. Not right away. I'm enjoying not writing right now.
that feeling.
Yes. But I do, I have said I would love to do middle grade fiction. My son is a middle schooler, and I think that they are so they're sponges, and they love to read and have the time to read and enjoy books in a different way than adults. So I like that group, and I'm going to explore that next.
That is going to be amazing. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Thank you.
Book 3 of the Equal Night Trilogy, Sky of Water, is out everywhere today. There's links to it in the show notes. I highly recommend you picking up the entire trilogy. We'll link up the whole trilogy there. This is an amazing journey that we have barely scratched the surface of, but you guys are going to love this series. As a man who is not a woman, I thoroughly enjoyed this series, so I know that everyone else will as well. Stacy, if people are just learning about you and want to connect with you online, where can they do that?
My website is Stacy with an E, StacyLTucker.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as Stacy L. Tucker. And the first week that Sky of Water is out, the ebook is going to be 99 cents because everybody is home right now reading lots of books. So we're making a sale for the first one. And actually the first two ebooks are 99 cents because they're of their age. So you can get the whole series for $3. On an ebook version, of course.
But. Yes. And we will definitely link that up. Stacy, this has been so much fun catching up. Thank you for all the work that you do, and thank you for taking time to come back on the show.
Hank, this has been so fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Authors, I have a fantastic new service to tell you about. It's called PubSite. PubSite is a service to help you build your very own website, your home on the web, where you can promote your work and give your fans a place to connect with you. PubSite is a website platform that allows every author, regardless of budget, to have a great-looking professional website. Developed by the book marketing professionals at FSB Associates, PubSite is the new, easy-to-use DIY website builder developed specifically for books and authors. Whether you're an author of one book or 20, or a small publisher, PubSite allows you to build, design, and most importantly, update your website pain-free. No need to be dependent on a designer or webmaster to make a small but costly change to your website. Save the money and do it yourself. PubSite is the best platform for authors because it's a book-centric platform. PubSite was built just for authors and small publishers. Every design, feature, and layout is book-centric. They have customized designs for you to use. It's easy to build. No coding or HTML is necessary to create a stunning, professional-looking website with all the features you want. Get a custom domain name, yourname.com. It's simple to update. You can add all of your books, add a blog and a book tour, sell from any retailer, manage your email list and social media, and even do e-commerce. Build your website with a 14-day free trial, then pay just $19.99 per month, which includes hosting. And we offer packages starting at $499 to set up the website for you. Pub-site.com, the place to help authors find their home on the web.